Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Title of our sermon today is The Cords of His Sin, not his being Jesus, but of ours. Shall we stand together? The book of Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. Do you realize that? That your ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could come and sing these songs of praise, Lord, to also to hear the specials. Lord, I pray that you would be with this one speaking today. And Lord, we pray that your will is done in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Be seated. In today's bulletin, we find 7 simple facts about sin by S.D. Gordon. The first thought is that sin earns wages. In the New Testament, we find in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Gordon also says sin insists on paying. You may be quite willing to let the account go, but sin always insists on paying. Longtime author, his columns would appear in The Source. Roger Campbell writes, sin deceives. It promises freedom but gives slavery. Sin promises thrills and pleasure but brings grief. Sin promises an escape from the routine of life but develops its own cycle of despair. And we see that over and over and over again in today's society, where sin has deceived and promised, but then it ensnares and makes captives. In the song, it says something along this line, sin will keep you longer than you will want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you will want to pay. And sin will take you where you do not want to stray. Sin. Notice it says there in verse 22, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Now I want you to imagine if I were to take these shoelaces. Brother Jones, do you have shoelaces? If I were to take your shoelaces and wrap them around my wrist, would I be able to get out of it pretty easily? You don't think so? Well, I think if it was just your shoelaces, I probably could. Say yes. Thank you. Brother Watke, do you have shoelaces? And if I were to take your shoelaces, though, and after Brother Jones's laces are on my wrist, and you're on my wrist, and do you have shoelaces? All right, and your shoelaces. How about you, buddy? Yeah, so if I were to take these 4 men and take their shoelaces and wrap them around my wrist, they wouldn't even have to be tied, would they? I'm not Samson. If they were just wrapped around, what would happen? I'd be bound. Isn't that what sin is? Sin does that. It takes whatever it is that where the temptation has taken you, and it wraps the cords around your wrists, and it takes control. And we see it in today's society. And yet today's society says, well, it's not your fault. You were born this way, or society made you this way, or your parents mistreated you, or someone bullied you, and so there is an excuse for your sin. What does Jesus say about those excuses? No. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. I read this a while back that the Lord will forgive your sins, but he won't forgive your excuses. that he'll forgive your sins. But those excuses that you make for doing that which is wrong, we are held responsible for those. Take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2, if you would please. Titus chapter 2. And I have a lot of thoughts I'd like to give you today, and we hope that we can get through all of it. And if I have to take an extra 15 or 20 minutes, I hope you'll bear with me. I tell by the silence out there that that's not going to happen. Hey, the Lions don't play tonight. Verse 11 says, Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Whatever society we live in, we need to live it properly. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." How are we redeemed? Through Jesus Christ. "And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Salvation is important. And once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, our testimony is important. Romans chapter 1, if you would please. Romans chapter 1. We're going to find here that no one is without excuse. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 18. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." Now wait a minute, the wrath of God. What about the love of God? People are always talking about God is love. Can God have wrath? God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He provided a Savior. But notice this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." They suppress the truth because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. From what of the world? The creation of the world. So when man says we're here by chance, who are they denying? They're denying God. They're saying there is no God. We are here by chance. And yet we find that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The universe screams that there is a God. See, evolution, the teaching of evolution, they look at the finished product and they try to tell us why it is. The Word of God tells you how it began. Evolution tries to come up with a theory, and it is a very poor theory. They try to tell us that there was some water and it was hit by lightning and there was the spark of life. Has it ever happened again? Can they make it happen again? They try. All the time they're trying to make life. But they can only make life out of what is already here. They can't create new life. And they are without excuse. And may I say this, some of these people that proclaim it and try to bring down our university students, and they try to bring down those people who are young and they don't know really what's happening yet, I believe that they will spend eternity in hell with even greater punishment than those who didn't know. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Take your Bibles and quickly to Galatians chapter 5. But sin and works of the flesh, where society tries to okay sin, the Bible calls sin, sin. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Do you find it interesting that sexual sins are related, are named number one and number two? That doesn't surprise me, because sexual sins are very alive into our society today. The justifying of living improperly and immorally. Hatred. Oh, that's strong in our society, isn't it? Oh, wait a minute, I skipped some. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. The works of the flesh. Point number one, the need of salvation. The need of salvation. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that one man? Adam. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why do we need salvation? Because of sin. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have turned away from the Lord of the universe, the Creator God, and we've turned unto fables. We've turned unto lies. We've turned unto things that direct us in other directions. Point number two, the premise of salvation. It is Christ's work. We are saved totally through Jesus Christ. We cannot work our way to heaven. You aren't going to live long enough ever to do that. If you could, but you can't. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That Christ died for your sins. For my sin. He died for that. Acts 20:28, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. With his own blood. Isaiah 53, 6b and part of verse 10, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. An offering for sin, a sacrificial offering for whose sin? How about Pastor Stephen? I mean, he's a really nice guy. Yeah, he really is. He puts up with me. And that can't be an easy task. Don't say amen, buddy. My wife might say amen. 45 years, I don't know how you've done that. Sometimes I wonder why you did that. Yeah. What'd you say? God's help. I thought you said I was awesome. But the fact of the matter is, he died for your sins. He was offered for your sins. As good as we think we are. Number three, the way of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say this. Everyone in this room, everyone in Sterling Heights, everyone in Macomb County, everyone in the great state of Michigan, everyone in the U.S. of A., every one of us have faith in something. Yes? We have faith in something. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people are going to die with that faith. But for all too many, that faith won't get them into heaven. For all too many, they are going to die in their sins and go to hell. They may have been religious. There's lots of religion in our society. I mean, you go in Sterling Heights today and you'll find that there are Buddhists and Hindus that are available now. They weren't available 30 years ago, but they're here now. We find that there are the Jehovah's Witnesses and there are the Mormons, and we go right down the list of people who call themselves Christian, and there's plenty of religion. But may I say this, many of them have their faith in religion, but not in Jesus Christ. Not in Jesus Christ. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by what? Faith. By faith. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin reading at verse 8. Great missionary thoughts come from Romans chapter 10. And we're going to begin reading at verse 8. We must have faith in Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and hath believed in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, let me say this. It cannot just be a head knowledge. It must be a heart knowledge. It's one thing to know you need to be saved, but it's another thing to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and asking for salvation. For with the mouth, confession is made. And number four there is the assurance of salvation. 1 John chapter 5, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 5. God's word assures us of the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. I've asked people before, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And I've heard them say, well, I hope so. I think so. I was at a funeral where the Catholic priest was begging God to bring the person in the coffin to heaven. Folks, it's too late then. No, I can't get you into heaven. But you can do it through your faith in Jesus Christ. And notice what it says, chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know it. You can have the peace of God. Folks, I've been at enough funerals where people did not know about the person that was in the coffin if they were in heaven or not. I've known people who could only get through funerals with alcohol because they themselves have no security. But the fact of the matter is, if you know Jesus Christ, you have security. Amen. Number five, the evidence of salvation. The fruit produced. The fruit produced. Matthew 7:20 says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You say, no, wait a minute, Pastor Paul. First you say we're not saved by good works, but then we're to do good works? Absolutely. We do good works because we're saved, not to be saved. We are to produce. And that's one of the problems in America today, is that Bible believers have stopped producing and reproducing and growing. And that's a sad thing. James 2:18 says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Show me your faith. Again, it says in James chapter 2, verse 20, faith without works is dead. Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Point number six, the joy of salvation. We sang the song, "There is joy in serving Jesus." Didn't we sing that? We sang "Joy Unspeakable." Verse 2. "I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing. I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory." Joy. The believer's walk. Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" In John chapter 6, we read about the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. And following the feeding, Jesus did some what they call tough and hard teachings. You know, a lot of times we get fluff, but then there are harder things in the teachings of the Word of God. And in verse 66 of John 6, we read, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." They were bothered by what he had to say. And then Jesus asked his disciples, "Will ye also go away?" May I say this, in the 43 years that I have worked here at the Covenant Baptist Church, I have seen many believers stop walking with Christ. I have seen many who have gone astray. And Jesus said, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter responded with this great statement, "To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." You have joy in your life? I'm not talking about, do you have a nice 2018 Corvette? That would be nice, wouldn't it? No? A red one? A Mustang? I'd rather have a Corvette. Mustang's nice. I'm not saying because your house is really big and you have three car garage. I'm not asking, you know, are all your bills paid and is your house paid full and you have good health? Those things bring temporary joy. But do you have joy that's going to last eternally? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Point number seven. You say, "Well, how many points are there, Pastor?" Seven. The completion of salvation. The Christian's rewards. 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well-known verses, 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul writes, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Congratulations, Paul. That's really good. But he doesn't end there. "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Do you look forward to meeting Jesus Christ face to face? You know, I wonder what we'll do when we meet our Savior. The Bible tells us that there will come a time in which every knee shall bow. That including the devil and the demons, they shall bow before Jesus Christ. The day is coming that this will happen. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." Take your Bible and quickly turn to Matthew chapter 7. In conclusion, we want to hear our Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear. But I want to leave you with the reading of two verses from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus speaking, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I hope you have entered that narrow gate. I hope that you have found that way that leads to life. If you are outside the gate and you are pondering which way to go, may we show you today from the Word of God what you must do to accept Christ as your Savior. As we have the invitation time, we'd be glad to show you, or have someone here show you what needs to be done. We'll ask you now to stand and we'll sing 394, "I Surrender All." Are you willing to surrender that most important possession you have, your soul, to Jesus Christ? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have the invitation time, Lord, you know what was said today. You knew what was going to be said, and you knew who would be here today. We ask that the Spirit would touch hearts. Lord, I pray that your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.